Welcome to the Ever Young Wellness Podcast. I'm Azra Aligich, your host and founder of Ever Young Wellness. I'm a mother, health and wellness journalist, writer, corporate consultant, and a biohacking advocate. Are you worried about getting old? Wondering whether the biological demise of your body is just something that you have to accept? Think again. We don't have to get old the way we used to, because now you can biohack your body to a younger you. I'll bring you interviews with the experts in the latest techniques and products to help you hack your biology and slow down or reverse the aging process. Want to know more? Let's get started. Today I'm joined by Brittany Ford, a holistic nutritional consultant. Brittany works with clients from around the world, providing online consultations with a strong focus on gut health and women's hormones, following on from tackling her own health issues over the past 10 years. She's been voted as being in the top 27 holistic nutritionists to follow in 2020, and so I'm very excited to have her on the podcast today. We chat about biohacking as a new way to optimize your health, how biohacking for women is different to men, thanks to those wonderful hormones us girls have, and we also explore how gut health is so important to your overall health.
Well, and I've been looking forward to having a chat to you. So I just thought it'd be nice to sort of get a little bit of, background from you in terms of tell us your story and how you got into nutrition.
Of course, yeah. So I, you know, like many healthcare practitioners, I had my own health issues and quite a long time ago. So, well, in respect, about like 10 years ago, and really just struggled with finding answers and finding proper support. And I, you know, had these weird symptoms and signs as a teenager and really just went to my traditional doctor, and she basically said, nothing's wrong with me. We did blood work and nothing was wrong. And I just really felt unsupported and unheard. And and it was difficult. And I was dealing with things like my hair falling out and thinning at such a young age, and mood issues and struggling with concentrating in school, and sleep issues and these other things that were happening. And I didn't feel good, and I didn't look as good as I probably could have, like health-wise, I mean. So I just really struggled. And eventually I started looking up and researching other types of doctors, other types of people who can help, and went to a naturopath and went to a nutritionist and started doing different testing to really look at the root cause of what was going on, for what I was dealing with. And through that journey, I was able to realize there were deeper issues going on that I needed to heal. And through healing those, I fell in love with natural health, holistic health, and really ended up making a career out of it and doing something about it. And, you know, now, you know, 10 years, 11 years later, health is my number one priority. It's my number one passion. My health is definitely not perfect, but it's a lot better than it used to be. And it's a lot better than it would have been if I had done nothing. So,
yeah. And I think it's a journey, isn't it? Good health, to attain good health is a real journey, yes, because there are so many variables that impact our health, whether it's, you know, environment, whether it's personal relationships. I mean, there are so many variables out there that can impact good health.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's like where biohacking really came in was, you know, I saw the benefits of nutrition, but I started to realize that the body is more than just the food that we eat, even though it's so important and nutrition is such a key pillar. There actually are other things that are also very important. So your sleep and your stress and your relationships, and your movement and these other things. And I started feeling like, okay, like I should start tweaking this here and there, trying these different like trends or whatever you want to call them. And then found biohacking, you know, two, three years ago. And it's just kind of this word that really encompasses all of everything that I do. So I just kind of like took it on, and here we are.
Yeah, and it really is quite an interesting concept, I think, biohacking, because, you know, as you said, it's probably something that's really only started to become, you know, popular, quote unquote, relevantly recently in the past few years, and almost a foreign concept to a lot of people. Even today, when I talk to people about biohacking, they ask, well, what the heck is biohacking, you know, and so it is quite a foreign concept to people. And how are you finding your clients being receptive to the notion of biohacking their body for better health?
I find it's great. And it could be because most of my clients come to me through social media right now or my own podcast. So they already are familiar with me talking about biohacking. So when we sit down and have a consultation, you know, I don't even know if I really use the word biohacking much in my consultation. We just do the practices that are biohacking, you know. So if someone is having sleep issues, we'll be talking about red light and reducing blue light and I don't know, other things like that, you know. So people are very open to it, and it's a lot better now than it used to be in a couple of years ago. And I think, like, it's definitely not mainstream, but with the increase that I'm seeing in it, I mean, in the next probably 3 years, it will be mainstream.
Yeah. So let's walk through some of the key biohacks that you find work really well. Can you walk us through some of those?
Yeah. I mean, of course it depends on the symptoms and the signs that you're dealing with. And just like nutrition, biohacking is very personalized to you. So a lot of people swear by intermittent fasting, which is technically, I guess, a biohack for a lot of people. But some people really don't respond well to intermittent fasting, especially a lot of women don't, because it impacts their hormones too much. So there's things like that. Like, you can try these different tools and techniques. There's also a lot of like technology around biohacking. So you can try these different things and see if they work for you. And if they don't, you can try other things. So it really depends on the issue at hand, and how you want to heal it. But yeah, there's a lot. Like, meditation is a great one. I don't think I've ever met anybody who hasn't benefited from meditating. You know, a lot of people struggle with meditating and getting into it and actually doing it. But once you get over that hump, daily meditation, even just 5 minutes, is like astounding in how good it can make you feel.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think something that, you know, this is kind of like a side note, but something that has been really surprising that I've seen in my practice, especially with women, is the impacts and the frequency of women talking about mental health. And by no means am I somebody who specializes in mental health, but it comes up again and again of stress, anxiety, depression, feeling overwhelmed, like they can't get a grasp on life and life is almost happening to them. So that's been very interesting. So I think biohacking really can really support that and help that. And meditation is a big one for mental health.
Sure. And you mentioned sleep as well. And I think, I don't know about yourself, but I know with a lot of the women that I know, sleep is a major contributing factor to contributing to stress. Because, you know, ultimately when we don't sleep well, that impacts our health, you know, so many ways, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. I spent all of 2019 hacking my sleep. And I used to be such a bad sleeper. I really was. I would wake up multiple times throughout the night, and get up and go to the bathroom and then go to bed and then get up and go to the bathroom all the time. Was a very light sleeper, but through trying different tools and techniques, I've actually become a lot better at sleep. I don't wake up as much. I fall asleep faster, wake up feeling refreshed. So yeah, I mean, it takes time, but you really can optimize your sleep for sure.
So what was it that worked for you?
Yeah, so the biggest things that worked for me was, first and foremost, I got an Oura ring, which you can see.
Yeah,
so basically quantifies your sleep.
Yep.
And, you know, you can get an app, or there's different ones out there as well, like different technologies. But anything that's going to help you quantify your sleep is fantastic, because it's really giving you data that is just right in the moment. Instead of you waking up and asking yourself, I mean, there's something to be said about that as well. But instead of you just relying on kind of like how you're feeling, if you look at the data and it says like your percentage of REM, your percentage of deep sleep, how many times you woke up, it really can help you realize what the issue is. And then when you try and hack it or fix it, you can see if it works or not. So that is the first thing, like get some sort of device or app to track your sleep. And then past that, the best things for me was, light. I'm very sensitive to light. So So all of the lights in my apartment now go red at night. I use blue blocking glasses. I read before bed for about half an hour. I go to bed the same time almost every single night, within half an hour ish. So those are really, really key. So I'm having the same like cycle over and over again, and my body has really enjoyed getting into that cycle. And then another thing that I've really noticed is not eating before bed or within 2 to 3 hours before I go to sleep. And that one's a big one for me. It tends to, if I eat before I go to bed, even an hour before, even an hour and a half before, it affects my heart. And I noticed the next morning that my heart rate was higher when I was sleeping than it would be if I had no food in my stomach, which affects your sleep. So I really have to stop eating at like 7:30 if I'm going to bed at 10:30 type of idea.
Well, those things, eating close to going to sleep and having light on or even watching TV or being on your phone, that all does impact your circadian rhythms, doesn't it? And also like eating triggers the body to start working again, thinking, oh, I'm awake, I've got to start burning this fat off, right?
Exactly. Anything that is stimulating, right? And so Netflix is a great one, or any sort of TV. For social media, for myself, I have my apps automatically, or all of my apps on my phone, switch off at 7 p.m. And don't start again until 8:30 in the morning, which is super nice because I'm not bombarded with notifications. There's no like looking at my emails before I go to sleep type of thing. And that's been very helpful too. Because, you know, if you think about the cortisol level or your circadian rhythm, you want to be alert and awake in the morning and really energized. You should be bouncing out of bed, really. I mean, it shouldn't be this like slow, groggy, like pull you out of bed type of thing. And then it should decrease as the day goes down. And at 7 p.m., you should be kind of tired. 8 p.m., 9 p.m., whatever your bedtime is, you should be getting more and more sleepy, so that by the time your head hits the pillow, you knock right out and you don't have any stimulus or any stressors going on.
I found the same thing works for me as well. I know that you do focus a lot on women's health, and what are the prime issues that you are seeing coming through in terms of women's health? Is it gut health? Is it hormonal health? What are they?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you just hit it exactly right. Gut health is huge, and I see it in almost every single client that I have. And it's everything from IBS to being super bloated, like waking up in the morning with a flat stomach and then going to sleep and feeling like you're pregnant. That I see bloating a lot. I see a lot of constipation, diarrhea, indigestion, heartburn, acidity issues. And yeah, so we work on that a lot. And then on top of that, a lot of people have both, is a lot of period issues. So irregular menstrual cycles. Some women are coming off of birth control and they either see me before, during, or just recently after they've come off. And they're very like concerned about how their body is going to react to not having these synthetic hormones pumped into them anymore. So I kind of help women come off birth control, and then the period problems. Yeah.
Yeah. It really interests me how many women don't realize that, that their period problems, you know, can actually be addressed. That there are so many women out there that just think, oh, well, this is just normal, you know, and I just have to put up with this. Have you found that as well, that people, they have an aha moment when they come to see you and think, oh, I should have come and seen you years ago?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we kind of just get used to our symptoms, right? So if, you know, you have heavy periods and you have heavy cramp or like painful cramping and your breasts swell and you get acne or whatever it is, you're like, oh, this has been happening to me for so many years. This is normal for me. But it doesn't actually necessarily mean that it's normal or good for you, or it doesn't mean something deeper is going on. I mean, if we look at the research, a lot of these symptoms are linked to bigger issues that come down the line, like endometriosis or PCOS or whatever it may be. So it's pretty nice, pretty great working with women, hearing about their periods and being like, okay, look, like, let's get your periods to a place where, firstly, they're regular. Secondly, you're not in pain from them. And thirdly, like the other, you know, smaller signs and symptoms are also managed.
And I noticed that you have a Biohack Your Cycle guide. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. I get asked about this so much. So, you know, last year before I opened my business, I created this guide for myself because the world of biohacking is very male dominant.
Yeah.
And you know, there's me and probably 5-10 other women who are really like, you know, trying to lead this female biohacking sector, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so, you know, women are so different biologically and our menstrual cycles just prove that. And so a lot of these biohacks that people are talking about, they don't really apply to women all month because we're so different every single day during our cycles. So I ended up creating this like one pager chart for myself, but then I was like talking about it on social media and people were like, okay, I want that chart. And I was like, okay. So I just kind of made it into a free, you know, downloadable PDF on my website, which anybody listening can go get it right now. And just broke it down into, you know, your phase and the feelings that you have, the nutrition, your fitness, different things that you can do during the four different phases to really elevate your health. And it's very interesting. A lot of people like it. So at this point, I was actually thinking about this yesterday, but I actually wonder if I need to flush it out into a bigger program or course. But that's just like my brain. And
sounds like there's definitely demand there for it. That's for sure. Yeah. How does nutrition impact women's cycles? Do you find that nutrition is a key component in trying to address women's cycles and any issues that they have?
You know, I think even if everybody listening, every female thinks about herself during your cycle. You know, when you're ovulating versus when you have your period, you feel so different. Like when you have your period, it's literally like you become more introverted. You have less energy. You want to stay home. You know, you want to like cuddle and watch TV, whatever it is. But then when you're ovulating, you have a ton of energy and you want to be out and socializing and you do really well during like presentations during this time or having very difficult conversations at work, like asking for a raise or interviews or whatever. So if you think about how different we are during the cycle, those different phases of the cycle, it makes sense that our nutritional needs also change at that time. So, you know, when we have a lot of energy, we are going to want more protein and foods that are really going to fuel us and not necessarily weigh us down. Whereas when we have our period during the menstrual part, we want like warm, grounding foods, grounding vegetables, because we ourselves feel grounded. So yeah, it just kind of, it all relates. So yeah, nutrition plays a massive part.
Yeah, great. You touched earlier on gut health, and I think that this is you know, such a huge focus area for many people at the moment. And I know certainly for myself, that's what really started my health journey, was my gut health issues. I had leaky gut, which really sounds gross when you talk about
it.
Because people are like, my gut's
sick. Did I. I had leaky gut too.
I know, right? I felt like I was, like you was talking about feeling bloated, like you were 6 months pregnant, and I'm not like that at all, you know. And I just always have had quite a flat tummy, and all of a sudden I had this bloating. What is going on, you know? And when I saw a nutritionist and naturopath, and you know, and did my 6 month detox cleanse diet, and haven't looked back since. And was such a migraine sufferer as well. And I realized that it was all linked back to my gut health. Mm-hmm. And once I'd done that strict cleanse and healed my gut, that my health became so much better. So can we do a bit of a deeper dive into some of those gut health issues? Because, you know, a lot of people might not realize that a lot of health issues are connected to your gut health.
That's so interesting. I will have to ask you later about the cleanse you did. I'm very curious to hear about it. You know, the gut is the foundation to our health. And time again, when you work with any type of functional doctor or naturopathic doctor, when they look at the root cause, it is almost always the gut. Inflammation in the gut, issues in the gut, dysbiosis, which means like the microbiome is not balanced. So it's just, you know, I think the gut is, you know, it's underrated. It's a lot better than it used to be. But there's a lot we can do, to really help and support our gut. And that's the great thing, is like, even though a lot of us have gut health issues, it doesn't mean that they're not fixable. And it doesn't mean that we can't keep them in remission. So a lot of the time with like myself, like leaky gut, I know that I'm always going to be prone to leaky gut, no matter what, for the rest of my life. However, I know what causes it to flare up now. I know what I need to do to heal it. I know what I need to do to close the gaps in my leaky gut. And I know the signs and symptoms of when it's not acting well. And so it's kind of teaching people that is like, you, first of all, how do we heal your gut? And secondly, how do we like learn when it is acting up again or flaring up again in relation to what you're doing? So food is a massive one. All of our food obviously goes through our gut. Our food is our energy. It has our nutrients. So if our gut isn't properly digesting it and assimilating those nutrients, how do we expect for everything else to kind of work well? How do we expect to detox well? How do we expect to have proper hormone balancing when the nutrients that we need, the minerals and the vitamins that we need to make that happen, are not being absorbed in the gut, right? So it just kind of all relates together. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So what are the key food groups that people should steer away from if they feel like they're suffering from some gut health issues? Obviously they should go and see someone like yourself and get some tests done. What are the key signs of poor gut health, and then what would be the next step that they can start to implement straight away before they find time to go and see someone?
Yeah, definitely. So key symptoms and signs, I would say, are, you know, everything that's digestive, my gosh, related. So bloating and that sort of thing, like we already talked about. Other things would be acne is a big one. And not just acne, but also eczema and any skin rashes can be very much related to your gut. And then
good skin's related to good microbiomes, right?
Exactly. And then on top of that, I would say, is mental issues. So a lot of brain fog is actually, indicative of gut health issues. And so, yeah, it's kind of becoming aware of that. And then in terms of food groups to avoid, this, of course, is personalized to the person. But I would say the big ones are, you know, it's hard to say like blanket terms, but I really do think starting like paleo is one of the best things you can do. And typically that's because it takes out grains and dairy and sugar. And a lot of people are sensitive to those things. A lot of people, and no one really should be eating sugar at this point in general, like soda and pop and candy and chocolate and these things, like it's just causes so much havoc in the body.
Yeah.
So I definitely would say, yeah, going paleo is a fantastic place to start for people. And then seeing how you feel and taking out a lot of those stressors, food stressors that a lot of people deal with. That's really what's helped me a lot.
And nutrient dense, rich foods as well, fiber, those sorts of things. Are they important at all for gut health?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So you definitely want to be eating a lot of organic, if you can afford it, organic vegetables, grass-fed meat, a lot of fish, a lot of healthy fats are really important. But yeah, like fiber, you have to be careful because like sometimes people eat way too much fiber and it messes up your gut. And those are the people who are having a bowl of bran cereal in the morning, or any of the, I forget the names of them, but you know, like basically they're like laxatives.
Yeah.
Those types of like foods, no go. That is too stimulating for the gut. So it's really about finding a good balance. You don't want too much fiber, but you don't want too little fiber.
Sure. What are your absolute no-go zones in terms of foods that you would never put into your body?
Soy is a big one. Yeah. I don't know the last time I had soy, and that's for a few reasons. One, it impacts hormones because it has a lot of phytoestrogens in it. And I also tend to react to soy, which I've noticed, but it's not a allergy in the sense that my throat swells up or anything like that. It's more of I get hives on my skin a couple days later. So I've noticed I'm quite reactive to soy. So definitely none of that. And then sugar, definitely none. I mean, maybe I have sugar a handful of times throughout the year, if that, but it's like a special occasion. And then, yeah, grains, wheat. I really just try and stay away from grains because they don't work well with me. Dairy, I don't have any milk. Although, I've been thinking about trying raw milk lately, but I don't know how I feel about that. But yeah, those tend to be the ones I stay away from the most.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's
no worries.
Really lovely chatting to you. And I'm sure that everybody that will be listening to this podcast will get so much benefit out of your tips today. So it's been a real pleasure to have a chat with you.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been so great.
And if people wanted to connect with you more, where can they find you?
Yes. So my website is biohackingbrittany.com. That's my social media platform as well, on Instagram and Twitter and all the things. And if you want to email me directly, my email is info@biohackingbrittany.com.